So this morning I have fill in the blanks. Now, I don't know how I'm going to tell you when you need to fill in the blank, but you should figure it out. Maybe I'll hold my pen up in the air, because all I have in here in my notes is bold. And so I just know that's the next fill in the blank. And so I would just ask that you do your best. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But I feel like this is an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with Christ. Who knows that we are supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And to be a disciple means we need to learn. Sunday morning service only does so much of that for you. So trying to figure out how we could expound upon it. Well, let's get activity happening during the sermon, but then let's send you home with something that will also challenge you through the week. And my prayer through this is that God would challenge us, He would grow us, that He would multiply our faith, and that we would be a body of believers that would not be ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, let's get started here. So watch for the hand raise. When I raise my hand, that's all I've got to do for this Sunday, is for your fill out the blank. And so have you ever had a promise reneged on? Reneged on. Get a dictionary. R-E-N-E-G-E-D. Reneged on. Have you ever had a promise reneged on? Something that was promised in the future. Then when that time came to see that promise fulfilled, guess what? It never happened. It comes and goes. That promise for a lunch date never takes place. That promise for this toy or this future travel plan or whatever, it doesn't take place. It's not fulfilled. You never see it come to fruition. Or maybe you're still waiting. Maybe you have got a promise made to you right now that you're in that waiting period. Whether it takes days, months, or years, you are waiting to see that promise fulfilled. And perhaps you find yourself this morning losing hope. Maybe you're starting to lose hope that that promise is going to come. Today we get to talk about a promise that was fulfilled. A promise, a wonderful promise that took 7 centuries in the making. Has anybody waited 7 centuries for their promise to be fulfilled? So you see back in Isaiah, the prophecy of the Lord Jesus. From the time in Isaiah to the time of Jesus' birth, they figure it was 7 centuries from that. It took 7 centuries for it to happen. Now, this is a promise that was fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled each and every day. It's a benefit for us today. It's a benefit for our kids. It's a benefit for our kids' kids. And it's a benefit for our kids' kids' kids 7 centuries from now if the Lord Jesus so decides that we're here for 7 more centuries. Okay? I don't think that's the case, but just know that this is a promise that never ends. The thrill, the hope, and the blessings that come from this promise never cease. It never gets tiring to reflect on this promise. If you have your Bible with you this morning, would you open it with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, with our key verse being verse 23. But I hope you brought your Bible with you. If not, maybe you can share with the neighbor that's next to you, or you can also look on to the screen. It will be on the screen here. But while you turn there, I just want to encourage you that the birth of Jesus wasn't just an event. Wasn't just an event that happened in history that we learn about today. It was the literal fulfillment of God's promise to be present with His people. He fulfilled that promise through Jesus. So through Christ, God came close. And what that means is it broke the barrier of sin that separated us from Him because of the Lord Jesus. So here's what His presence offers us. It offers us comfort, it offers us guidance, and it offers us peace no matter what we face. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, angel saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So this, what we just read, and we're focusing on God with us. See those big, that's the series title, is God with us. And today, we're focusing on the presence of God that is with us. And so this is a promise that doesn't fail. It doesn't disappoint. This is a promise, listen, that we can celebrate in.
Hallelujah.
We can celebrate in the promise of Jesus. And throughout this series, we are going to look at the heart of why Christ came. And so the promise of Emmanuel, the fulfillment of Jesus' birth, is proof of God's consistent desire to dwell with his people. It proves God's consistent desire to dwell with his people. See, it has always been God's desire to dwell with his people. And I'm going to prove it to you. So we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go through a little bit of history here to look at this. If you turn your attention to your, both your fill in the blank and your scripture reference, we start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and I'm not reading the verses, I'm just highlighting what the verse means. As the passage of Genesis 3:8, it implies that God's presence in the garden was a regular experience for Adam and Eve. What this does is it highlights the close relationship they had with God before the fall. Before the fall. Then we can flip on into Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through 9, where we see the tabernacle being made, which was God's design for a dwelling place among men. God wanted to dwell with Israel. So it was during their journey through the wilderness. Now, let's go a few chapters more. And we see in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 35, that God's presence was visibly demonstrated in the tabernacle through the cloud of his glory. We have seen time and time and time again that God wants to dwell with his people. So we look at 1 Kings chapter 8, 10 through 11. This describes the moment that God's presence filled Solomon's temple during his dedication. Again, signifying his willingness to dwell with his people. Once again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. It reaffirms God's presence, it reaffirms God's promise to dwell in the temple as a sign of his relationship with Israel. And then John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So your fill in the blank there is the word dwelt. The word dwelt in this literally means tabernacle with a D, tabernacle with a D. Tabernacle, indicating that Jesus' birth was the ultimate fulfillment of God's desire to dwell with his people. It is the ultimate fulfillment of his promise to be with us. So this very quick trip through history should show and prove to us that God has always desired to have fellowship with his people. He desires to have fellowship with all of us here together today. He desires to have fellowship, and it all comes together in Emmanuel, God with us. So the promise of Emmanuel was God fulfilling his desire to dwell among us for eternity.
Hallelujah.
God wants to be with his people today. So not only do we see the greatest promise fulfilled through Emmanuel, God with us, but it also reveals God's nearness in Christ. Keep in mind, we're talking about the presence of God today, okay? So it reveals God's nearness in Christ. We see a God who is not distant, unreachable, or unrelatable. Rather, we see a God who is intimately involved in our lives. Intimately involved in our lives. Of course, you should know by now that I came prepared. I have lots of notes. You've got lots of notes in front of you. But I'm going to give examples today of how God draws near to us through the person of Christ Jesus. Through Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? So the first and foremost is our key verse this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Emmanuel, God, that's your next fill in the blank, with us, reveals that God chose to dwell with us. By doing so, he bridged the gap between humanity and divinity. He closed that separation that we have as humans because of our sin. Then we can go on to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus' mission shows God's desire to reach out to the broken and draw them to him. Is it not in God's character to draw those that are hurting and broken into his presence?
Amen.
Because this is God with us. This is the nearness of God. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, we see that through Jesus' compassion and through his physical touch, that God draws near to the sick and the marginalized. Guess what? Sunday school this morning, we saw God draw near to the paralyzed beggar, who then was healed, ankles were strengthened, feet were strengthened, and he got up praising and worshiping God. So God desires to draw near to the sick and the marginalized. Then we can look at Romans 8, verse 38 through 39. In Christ, God draws near in an unshakable and inseparable bond of love. There is nothing that can separate us. You understand this morning? That nothing can take you away from the love of God.
Amen.
Okay? Then, Colossians 1. I know this is a lot of scripture, but why not prove the Bible with the Bible?
Right?
So, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. We see that Jesus embodies the fullness of God and provides reconciliation, which is bringing us into a close relationship with him. Then, Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. It is through Christ that God draws near in understanding and mercy, inviting us to approach him with, does anybody know? What? Confidence. Great job, Don. She read her Bible this morning, didn't she, Dusty? So that is your fill in the blank, is confidence. So we are able to approach him with confidence. So from these references, it paints a beautiful picture of how God, through Christ, comes close to us in our struggles, our joys, and everyday life. We are talking about God with us, the presence of God. God's presence is with us every single day. God's nearness in Christ, it means that he is always with us, always, period, always. Always with us. God is never away from you. So turn your hearts, turn your cares, take your concerns to him, and find his presence, peace, and love today. Turn to him and find that nearness in Christ that he desires with you. Because that is where we receive comfort from his presence. It is through Emmanuel, God with us, that we have the presence of God to sustain us in our everyday lives.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I'm going to show you some more scriptures to show you how it sustains us every day in our lives. The first is this, and you might just write this down separately, but the first one's going to be a fill in the blank. Here is how the Bible illustrates God's presence sustains us and it comforts us. And in what way he does so. Okay? The first one, God's presence brings strength. That's your next fill in the blank. God's presence brings strength. That comes from Isaiah 41:10. It reminds us that God's presence gives us strength and courage in times of fear or uncertainty. I think we can all agree that we have been in places of fear and uncertainty before. And Isaiah 41:10 tells us that God's presence brings us strength. Psalms 46:1-3. God's nearness assures us that no matter how chaotic life becomes, he is our steady refuge and strength. So that is just reinforcing that God's presence brings us strength. The next one I want to point out, God's presence brings peace. Peace is your next fill-in. God's presence brings peace. That comes from Philippians 4:5-7. Knowing the Lord is near brings peace that calms our hearts and minds, even in challenging situations. We have covered Philippians 4 multiple times in the last couple of months, from a book series to talking about it in our Grateful Hearts series to now in God With Us series. God's presence brings peace.
Hallelujah.
John 14:27, Jesus' presence assures us of lasting peace that transcends worldly troubles. And you have the verses there to read to see that. And then God's presence guides us. Psalm 23:1-4. God's presence is like a shepherd, guiding and protecting us through life's darkest valleys. Psalm 23:1-4. And it's, interestingly enough, we open Sunday school with Proverbs 3:5-6. It's in my sermon today as well. Proverbs 3:5-6. It tells us that when we acknowledge God's presence, he directs our steps and provides clarity for our journey.
Amen.
Okay? Here's the next thing. God's presence in suffering. We can expect to encounter God's presence in suffering. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, it tells us that in trials, your next fill in the blank, tells us that in trials, God's sustaining grace assures us that his power works through our weakness. It is not through our strength that his power works, but rather it is through our weakness that his power works. Here's the next thing. God's presence gives courage to face the future. In Deuteronomy 31:8, as we step into uncertain futures, we can be assured that God's abiding presence gives us confidence and courage. And then, to go along with that, we see Joshua 1:9. And just as God was with Joshua, God is with us. He is empowering us to step boldly into the unknown, into the unplanned, into the unforeseen. God is empowering us to step boldly. So these passages here, they illustrate to us how God's presence sustains us, it guides us, it comforts us, it offers us strength, it offers us peace, and it gives us courage for every season of life. And this is all because of Emmanuel.
Amen.
God with us. We know that Emmanuel truly means God with us. Not only did we get the promise of Jesus, because that was the greatest gift, but it also is God's way of showing us that he desires to be with us. The Lord desires to be present with you today. Each and every one of you, he wants to be present in your life. Now, I highlighted the number of verses that I did today to just prove and to show you that the theme of God with us isn't just isolated to Christmas. Do we celebrate it during Christmas? Yes, we do, because that's when Emmanuel, God with us, came. But rather, it is the story of the entire Bible that God desires to be with us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because of Jesus, God is not far from us. He is not unreachable. So, the question remains of what now? What now? What are we supposed to do with this information? How are we supposed to cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our everyday life? Remember, Emmanuel, God with us, and today we focus on the presence of God in our life. So how can we cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our daily life? Well, first is to look at the three areas that we just covered. I know this almost feels like a class, and I'm really sorry, but I really hope that you are blessed. The Holy Spirit is speaking through this. So the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, that's the first thing we covered. The second thing is that there is a nearness to God in Christ. So we are near to God because of Christ. So God's nearness in Christ. And the third is the comfort of His presence. Every day we should recognize that God is always near. You need to understand that God is never far from you. And even, not just when we feel it is He near, but rather even when we don't, because God is constant. Okay? God is constant. Even in moments of doubt, in loneliness, or hurt, God is still present with us.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So, we can cultivate this awareness by starting every day with a prayer. Start every day with a prayer, thanking God for being with you. Thank you, Lord, for being present today. Lord, I seek your help. Help me to recognize your presence in every moment of today. Not only in the good, but also in the bad. Lord, let me sense and seek and feel your presence in every moment, every day. When we do this, we understand. See, when we put that into repetition, we start to understand that God is near because of Christ. We are near to God because of our relationship with Christ. Now, we call this intimacy. We call this because it's a closer personal relationship with Him. Jesus came in the flesh to be close to us, didn't He? Right? He didn't just stay in a distant heaven, but rather He came near. And in the same way, God desires intimacy with us. But we have to first be aware of His presence in our life. So to deepen that relationship with Him, not only do we spend time in prayer, we also read our Bibles. Daily, we are in the Word of God. And then also it comes in quiet reflection. Did you know that sometimes it's okay to just and sit in the presence of God? If we had it our way, we would just spew all the time all the things we want, we need. God already knows. Sometimes we just need to sit in quiet reflection of who He is, what He has done in our life, and give Him room to speak to us. So ask yourself this morning, how can I create space in my life for this? How can I create this space? As we recognize that God is with us, and we develop that closer relationship with Him, it is then that we experience the comfort of His presence. So be encouraged this morning. When life is hard, the truth of God's presence can be a source of great comfort and peace. God doesn't just watch from a distance, but rather, I need you to have this visual. So if you need to close your eyes to have this visual, do so. But He is not distant. But rather, He walks through us with our trials. He walks with us through our trials. So in moments of trial or suffering, be encouraged that you can lean on God. You can rely on His presence. And remember that Jesus understands our struggles, and He is there to give us strength. Because Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? So I wonder today, What areas of your life do you need to experience God's comforting presence? Where do you need to experience God's presence in your life? And as we reflect on this powerful truth that Emmanuel, God with us, the presence of God, we're reminded that His presence isn't just something that we experience for ourselves. It's not something we just do and we get to experience for who we are, what we are. It's something that should transform how we live, and it should transform how we engage with the world around us. God's presence offers us peace, it offers us intimacy, and it offers us comfort, but it also calls us to share that presence with others.
Amen. Go back to the Great Commission. We are to share His presence with others.
And so as we go throughout this week, let us carry the awareness, Emmanuel, God with us in every moment. Whether we are at home, whether we are at work, or we're spending time with friends, let's live in such a way that we engage our community for Jesus, showing His love, His presence to those around us. And when we are mindful of God's nearness, we become, listen, when we are mindful of His nearness in our life, we become a living reflection of His love and grace. You become the reflection of His love and grace, making His presence known to everyone that is around you. So, my challenge for us today as a church is, may we be a church that not only celebrates the presence of God with us, God with us, Emmanuel, but actively shares that presence, engaging our community for Jesus one person at a time. Can we be a people who wants to share His presence with others? Because isn't that the reason for the season? God came to be with us. And it is through Him that we are reconciled to God. So why would we not want to bring others along with for the party?
Amen.
Come on. If you would, if you stand with me this morning. Today we've heard the powerful truth that God is with us. It is through Jesus that God came near to us. He bridged the gap. He literally closed the gap that sin had created so we could experience His presence now and for eternity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made the decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you've drifted away and you've made choices that have taken you away from Him, and you want to come back to Him, this, right now, this is your moment. Jesus is calling you to step into His love and into His forgiveness today. Romans 10:9, it tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, if that's you, I want to invite you to just take time to respond. And you can respond this morning by, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can respond by raising your hand right where you are as a step of faith, saying, I need to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. Is there anyone here today that would say that? So church, today we've been reminded of the incredible truth that God is with us, Emmanuel. God's presence, His presence, is a source of strength, peace, and comfort, no matter what we're facing in life, no matter what we encounter. Maybe you've longed for that sense of closeness to Him. Maybe you're carrying burdens that feel too heavy for you to carry. Church, I want to encourage you this morning that the altar, it is a place to meet with God. It is a place to lay those burdens that you carry at His feet. And it is a place to be renewed by His presence. So whether you're seeking His peace, surrendering something that you've been holding on to, that you're walking with and won't let Him have, or you simply want to take a moment to just thank Him for His presence, God with us, I encourage you at this time to come forward and let's take time to respond to His words and allow Him to meet us in a powerful way. Amen.